Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
This morning, during the week, I was listening to a T.D. Jakes sermon, which was just brilliant. I loved listening to him talk. And one of the things I loved about what he does, every time he starts a sermon, he reads the passage in the text, but he gets the whole church to stand, to get their Bibles and to make certain they focus. Now, I'm going to get you to stand. I'm going to encourage you to open your Bibles if you've got them. If you haven't got a paper version, then open your electronic version so that at least you're following. But it will be on the screen for those that don't. You know, one of the things that I think we miss out on often is that we've got so used to having things on the screen that we don't tend to get ready to come to church. And it'd be great for you to bring your Bibles or bring a notebook or make certain that you bring something that you can write down or keep your notes on. Let's read the passage this morning, the text that God has given me for my message. Starting in Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. for those who don't know what watch is, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And then they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had got down or come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the richness of your word. I thank you that your word is truth and that your word sets us free. I thank you that, Jesus, you are the Word, that you came that we might have life and have it to the full. I thank you that your Word is a light and a lamp unto our path, that if we hide your Word in our hearts, it stops us from sinning. But Lord God, we can allow your Word to wash us. And as your Word does say, all things are passed away and behold, all things are new. So, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal your Word to us this morning. And that your word would not return to us void, but would accomplish that which you purposed for each of us as individuals. And so we pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You know, I can't say I've struggled with this sermon, but it's had a lot of beginnings and a lot of endings, and the middle has changed many times over the last week as I've worked on it. And even this morning, as I sat down here, I had a few more thoughts. I would like to think that this message this morning has what I would call a prophetic edge to it. And I'm not a prophet. I don't proclaim to be one. But I do believe that God uses his word to speak to us and to challenge us. And I think that this has that prophetic edge. I believe that God is doing something new across the earth. And I really mean that. I believe that we are in a new season. There is a change taking place. You know, you can feel it. You can see the barometer of our world changing place. So it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see a move of God afresh across our world. But if it's not for the world, then I'm sure that God has something new for us. Something here at LMC. Something across this property. Something that God is doing. And again, there's been enough indicators for me as I have watched and listened and seen to know that there is a stirring taking place. There is that pool being stirred right now. You know, when you think about what the Holy Spirit has been challenging us on in the recent months over the sermons, you think of Andy teaching us that song, showing us that video, challenging us on you can have it all, Lord. Mike Bradshaw and his messages have all been about surrender. Myself, a couple of weeks ago, just a challenge of God, what have we got in our hands? What is it that God wants to use in our hands? And then, of course, Pastor Hal's message last week, the prophetic message that he brought about the end times and the seasons, the different dispensations and the timeline throughout the Word of God. With the challenge, I don't think of when Jesus is coming, but are we ready for Jesus to come? And again, I know there's lots of debate and argument about end time things, but the thing that I've often said from the platform and said many times to others, that the important part is that Bible does tell us that we need to be aware of the signs of the times, that Jesus is returning, and that my heart, your heart, is ready for him to return. You know, when we think of the week that we've got coming up, we have something that could be the biggest change that we've seen probably in our lifetimes around the world. We have Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton. And you don't know, I think, or you should know, or we do know, how important America is to the world. And whatever happens in America normally has an outworking somewhere. And whether Mr. Trump or whether Mrs. Clinton get in, I can guarantee you one thing. There's going to be a change take place from either one of them. Now, I know people mock Mr. Trump, and I think we've got good reason to mock him in regard to the way he shoots his mouth off. But Chris and I were driving the other day, and we happened to listen to Mr. Trump's spiritual advisor talk about Mr. Trump's life. And there is no doubt that Mr. Trump is a Christian. There is no doubt that he loves Jesus. And there's no doubt, as we listen to his spiritual advisor, who is a switched-on pastor, I can tell you, he said, look, I don't know what Mr. Trump has done in the past. All I know is what the Bible says. And the Bible says that all things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. And I have no doubt that God has forgiven Mr. Trump for his misdemeanors. And I have no doubt that his heart and his desire is to serve God right now. And so it was an interesting thing. And then when you read some of the posts and some of the things that Franklin Graham has been putting up about Mr. Trump, again, Franklin Graham, coming out of the Billy Graham evangelistic area, he doesn't write things that don't have a lot of wisdom and a lot of depth about them. He's been writing some incredible things. So whatever the case is, the Bible says that God puts into power whom he wants. Now, it could be that he wants to do some shaking. It could be that he wants to give America another chance. Who knows? But whatever happens in America is going to happen and outwork in our country. And so we need to pray that God moves by his power, that God moves by his spirit. For one thing, I know that there are judgments coming for all of us, both here and there, and that we need to be ready. So this morning, it's time to obey the call, I think, and get ready to step out of the boat. So I've meditated on the passage we read. The title God put on my heart is, "It's Time to Get Out of the Boat." And as I thought about that, I began to realize that, you know, we have been in a dry season. And I'm talking about my walk and my life and my time with God. You know, I came into what I would say is lordship experience with Christ in 1974. And as I meditate and look at what life was like back then and some of the things that happened in the 80s and probably the early 90s, and then look at life now in church and what we do and how we do it and some of the things, I think we've been in a dry time. But again, we know that's part of the deal. Nature is like that. We have seasons, we have cycles, and that's part of life. And part of God's cycle might have been a dry time. You've only got to read through the Bible to look at the amount of times that the children of Israel went into blessing, then into cursing, into bondage and out of bondage, to know that there are seasons and there are times. One of the things I am conscious of, though, is that Satan has used the period that we've just been in to rob many from their zeal and their excitement for the things of God. I don't like the word backslidden or backslider, but I have seen many people move away from foundations of faith, move away from those things that drew them. And as Revelation would say, they've lost their first love. It seems that other things have crept in and started to rob them. And they've just allowed God just to sit on the side. You know, we've had some shakings. We've had the 9/11s. We've had, you know, tsunamis. We've had those things. And there's been plenty of opportunity for people to start to realize, hey, I need to get my life right. But I think that we are too comfortable. We have allowed complacency to set in. And we've allowed ourselves just to do the ho-hum church thing. I come on Sunday. I go to life group sometimes. Maybe life's good. And so that's all I need to do. You know, in the charismatic move, in that move that I was so blessed to come into Christianity in real things, the 60s to the 80s, stepping out of the boat, I think, was the norm. You know, you listened and you talked to people and there was an excitement, there was a zeal, there was a passion for God like you've never seen before. And people were doing things that just looked stupid. They were doing things that you would think, man, are they crazy? And they probably were. But they were crazy for God, crazy to be in the Spirit, crazy to move in the Spirit. You know, I don't normally share a lot about Chris's and my life in the platform because I know that Aussies don't like to hear people talk about themselves or blow themselves up in any way, shape or form. And I'm not doing that today, but let me give you some examples of just how we stepped out in our early stage of growing up in the charismatic move. You know, in 1974, I'd finished my apprenticeship, I'd done marine engineering, fitting and turning, really. It's just a glorified way of saying it. And I was going to go to sea. I was going to follow in my father's footsteps and be an engineer on a ship. And that was my whole life. That was my whole vision. That was my whole purpose. That's why I believe that God removed me from school at 14 and a half so I could prepare myself to go to sea. I had no passion, no vision for school, but I did have a vision to be an engineer on a ship. And as I went and did my apprenticeship, my whole life changed around. And so in 1974, when I'd finished my apprenticeship and I had my first ship already signed up, and then I went to Bible school and listened to Pastor Oxy talk, and he said, "We have one spot in Bible college next year, and I know that there's somebody in this room that needs to go to Bible college." That was me. I went the next day into the factory that we were working at, and I meditated in the toilet for 8 hours. Prayed, read the Bible, sought God. And when I say sought God, I didn't know I would be seeking God. I just knew that I needed to sit there and meditate and pray and find out what God wanted. And I came out of that shift, clocked off. They paid me for it. And knew that God was calling me. And I rang up Pastor Hal. I didn't know him. I'd never spoken to him, but I had his number off the back of the notice sheet. I rang him up and I said, "I think you were talking about me." And he invited me to his house to have a chat with him. And he shared about the peace of God. He explained exactly how I was feeling. And I knew that I knew that I knew that God wanted me to go to Bible college. So I went home and I told my mum and dad. Now, my mum and dad, being good Methodist people, didn't have one iota of understanding about the Holy Spirit or how the Holy Spirit would move. And anything that had to do with speaking in tongues or the charismatic move was a cult. And it was from the devil. And I had been sucked in by Satan. That was his and my dad's thoughts. And even though he would never say no, he wasn't very pleased with me. But off to Bible college I went. That was the first time that I stepped out of the boat and did something that was totally, totally stupid in man's eyes. After Bible college, again, Chris and I had got engaged by then and we were saving up to get married. Yet in that saving up to get married, we volunteered 3 days a week, both of us, to work for the church. Again, our parents, I'm certain, thought we were idiots, as did everybody else. How can you get married? How can you provide for yourself if you're working 3 days a week for the church? I told you that church were ripping you off. I told you that church came from the devil. Yet we did. And guess what? We got married. We got married with $3 in our bank account. And 2.5 years later, we still had $3 in our bank account. Our wage at the time was $50 a week and our rent was $50 a week. But we lived for 2.5 years on that $50, or that zero really. We would come home and there would be food on our porch. There would be a dress bought for Chris. There would be many, many things. Yet God provided. And when I look at these areas of stepping out of the boat and what we did, what God was doing was teaching us how to trust him, teaching us that he was his provider, teaching us that when you obeyed his call, that he would look after you. If he invited us to the banquet, you would know that he would provide the food. You didn't have to do anything about it. And so we could go on with story after story of stepping out. But it's not about what we did. It's about knowing that as we risked everything and obeyed God, God showed up and he did his miracle stuff. And it's that miracle stuff that God did that has kept us in good stead all of our life, because we've got memorial stones all the way through, which we wouldn't have had if we hadn't have stepped out. We weren't the only ones that stepped out. Back there, we were running a full-time live-in Bible college, which meant that families had to give up their work to go to Bible college. And that Bible college was always full. And it wasn't just full of single people. It was full of mums and dads and kids who were just following the call of God in their lives, preparing themselves for whatever it was that God had in store. Many didn't do anything bar do Bible college and then go back into being good home group leaders or something in the church. Others went on to being pastors. Others went on to being missionaries. But there were people prepared to give up all. You know, I know that we went through a dry season because finally we ended up closing Bible college down because people were not prepared to give up their job or couldn't afford to give up their job in their minds because they wouldn't get another job, was their thoughts. That season dried up. Yet, when I think of Bible college and how long it ran for and how many people went through and how many people were sent out because of Bible college, God honored their steps of faith. It wasn't in presumption. It wasn't doing it because it sounded good or because somebody else was doing it or because we want to follow what someone else is doing. It was always when God called, when the leading of peace was there. And I watched the testimonies of people's lives transformed. And I look at the fruit of those lives right now as we see them scattered around the world. Amazing fruit, amazing fruit. Now, this is not a judgment on anyone here, but it is an observation. When I consider the times we now live in, stepping out seems to be filtered through the cost, both financially and through career, through thoughts of future, through thoughts of worldly goods or whatever. And again, let me just read a scripture to you. It's a scripture that, as I was praying just down here before, it came into my head. And this is the scripture that comes out of Mark when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. And he says, "And they have no root in themselves." Sorry. "These likewise are those ones sown on stony ground who, when they receive the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and so they endure for only a short time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." And then there's what I would call the majority in church at the moment. "Now these are the ones where the word is sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, yet the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Now again, I'm not being condemnatory. I'm not saying that in a nasty way. I'm just saying that if we're going to step out of the boat, we're going to step out because we've heard the word, we've received it. And as Pastor Hal spoke sometime throughout the year on the 30, 60, 100-fold people, we're going to be people that allow the word to go deep. And then we're going to act upon it and allow it to become fruitful. And if God is calling, if Jesus is calling, then you can take it to the bank that he will look after us and look after you as you obey him. So as I said before, I believe that there is a new move in God taking place. That God is wanting us to either take a plunge or to start to prepare ourselves and get ready to embrace the adventure that he has ahead of us. You know, when you think of some of those adventures, and I tried to put myself in what would that adventure look like. Well, it doesn't have to be going to Bible college, but it could be. It doesn't have to be doing anything radical like that, but it could be. It could be, though, sharing your faith. You know, I look at Reno at the back there. Hi, Reno. And, you know, I think of what Reno does on the streets every Friday night, sharing his faith and how he obeyed God. How long have you been doing it, Reno? 16 years. Faithfully going out and sharing Christ. Faithfully giving out tracts. Faithfully giving out DVDs and CDs. Talking to people. He might not know the fruit. He might not even see the fruit. But he's been obedient to what God has done. When I think of Serge and what Serge has been sharing with us in recent months about praying for the sick. That's radical stuff. Or is it? It's what God has told us to do. So maybe stepping out of the boat is just being prepared to share that you're a Christian to your workmates, offering to pray for them, whatever the case may be. It might be studying, preparing for full-time ministry. You might feel that God has put it on your heart that he wants you to go into full-time ministry. Maybe as a missionary, maybe serving overseas like Marita has done. Whatever the case may be, it's still stepping out of the boat. It could be life group leadership. You know, I mean, no, I can't do that. No, I haven't got the time to do that. It could be, though, that God just wants to use your gifts and talents in serving as a life group leader. We need more leaders. We have more people wanting to go to life groups than we have leaders. It could be serving in some area of a church. You know, again, what have you got in your hands, the gifts and the talents? You know, the Holy Spirit is prodding you and prompting you and pricking your heart, but you've allowed it to be pushed aside because of other things creeping in. It could be in the area of just tithing. Now, I say just tithing, but tithing takes faith. Because as soon as you start giving away money or obeying God, then immediately your mind says, I'm never going to have enough. I can't do that. Look at my budget. Look at my income, expense. There's no way that I can afford to tithe. Yet, that could be a stepping out of the boat experience for you. Who knows? It could be anything. All we have to do is be ready to listen to the call of God. And as individuals, each of you, God is calling, I'm sure. So how do we keep our eyes focused on the goal when the world system we live in is doing all it can to distract us? And it is distracting us. How do we come or overcome past disappointments and discouragements? Things that haven't gone right in our eyes, and because of that we've stopped. And we've started to blame God for the way we feel right now, for how it's happening right now. How do we deal with the doubts that we have in trusting God? You know, doubts are part of life. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, the Bible says. How do we deal with that? Our text this morning, we find Peter helping us answer these questions. Now, I think that it's unfortunate that most people, when they think on this passage, normally focus on Peter sinking. Normally focus on that, oh ye of little faith line. Yet, by doing that, we miss, I think, the most encouraging part of the story. Now, I do want a little altar call right now, and I do want you to show me your hands. How many people have ever walked on water? O ye of little faith. So before we start thinking about Peter sinking, we need to focus on the fact that even though Peter did sink, he did walk on water. And that's something that none of us in this room have ever done. Peter walked on water just like Jesus did. Peter shows us what it means to exercise great faith. Peter was prepared to obey the call and get out of the boat. And again, if you just stop and just meditate on that for the rest of the day, God, would I have got out of the boat? God, what does it mean to get out of the boat? God, is that really you calling me? Look, I'll lay down this cloth, and if it's wet in the morning, God, I'll know it's you. Now, that was just coincidence. No, I'll do it tomorrow morning, and if it's dry and the ground around me's wet, I'll ask again. You know, right through the Bible, we find these little issues. Peter exercised great faith. Peter obeyed the call, and Peter walked on water. The reason I think Peter sank was not because he was presumptuous or foolhardy in getting out of the boat. I think Peter sank because, like many of us, our faith wavers and we let the issues around us pull us down. We'll come to that. So I'd like to suggest to you this morning that those who failed in this story, it's not Peter, but it's the rest of the disciples. They were the ones who sat huddled in the boat. They were the ones that still wondered whether they were seeing a ghost. If Peter had little faith, then I think we could really say that those disciples that huddled in the boat had no faith. Unfortunately, when we see people doing things and they fail, but they've stepped out or it hasn't gone like they planned, we love to criticize them. We love to justify our lack of faith by picking on them. Just remember, if you're picking on somebody else who might not have made it like you think they should have made it, just place yourself in the situation of being the disciples in the boat who never bothered to get out to have a try. You know, I'm certain that there are many people that Reno witnesses to that ridicule him, mock him, give it back to him. And we might say, well, that's why I don't do it, because that's just stupid doing that. Why would you put yourself in there? But then there's also many that have been saved and impacted by somebody stepping out. There's probably many that Serge has prayed for on the streets in recent months who haven't been healed. But that doesn't mean that stepping out in faith is wrong. And if we're not doing it, then we shouldn't criticize or pick on others who are. So what's stopping us from daring to trust God, daring to step out when God has called us? Because I believe that many of us in this room could say that we have been called, that we have felt the prodding to do something and we have masked it or covered it up or let a wet blanket get on top of it. The first one that I thought of, and you know, there's so much in this message, there's so much in this passage that we could talk about, and we haven't got time. But the first one I think would be fear. They have just witnessed being a part of a miracle of feeding 5,000. They've seen so many miracles, and Jesus looks at them and sees his disciples as being weary. And so he puts them into a boat to send them off to the other side. And whenever the Bible says the other side, it's normally they're going to the Gentiles. They're normally going to some unsaved area, in our terms. And Jesus puts them in the boat to give them a bit of R&R before they get to the other side to start ministering again to other people. And the Bible says that he goes up onto the mount to pray, to seek his Father's face, to be with him. As is often the case when we've had a breakthrough, when there's been some significant change or transformation in our lives, a storm blows up. Something comes in to try and squash what God has done. And this is what happened here. Jesus, seeing their dilemma from the shore, Bible says, walks out to them. And again, we just pass over that. Yeah, Jesus walked on water. But again, just think of the miracle of that. But no greater miracle than the miracle of feeding 5,000 or raising Lazarus or any other. It's just what Jesus did, which Jesus says that we can do. And we can because we have the Holy Spirit given to us. You know, how often we think that God is afar off when we don't hear him or see him. Yet, this story tells us that Jesus was watching from the bank. Jesus was looking after his disciples. Seeing them in strife, he walks out to them. When the disciples see him coming, they first mistake him for a ghost. And I think probably all of us would do that. This is not real. What was in that water that I was drinking? Whatever the case may be, things were going from bad to worse. Thanks for correcting my spelling, Chris. Worser. Things were not looking too good. Not only were they in a storm, but now there was a ghost coming to get them. Have you ever noticed how things tend to get worse in our heads than they really are? You know, the Bible says to cast down imaginations, yet we have the ability of creating issues in our brains. And then, having created the issue that isn't real, an imagination, the Bible calls it, we then think on these things to the point that they make us sick or they become real. You know, old suspense movies were just like that. Now, again, I'm showing a bit of my age, but those black and white movies, you know, they had the music. Dun, 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 dun. They never showed you anything. You just knew by the music that something was going to happen. Modern movies don't do that. They show you everything. They don't leave anything to the imagination. Yet, for us, we allow our mind to think the worst. We play out what can happen if we do step out of the boat. We do the positives and the negatives always win because it's so far out there. Disciples see a figure walking on the water towards them and they assume that it must be a ghost. And then they begin to fill in the blanks. As I said, we're not any different. We allow our fears to become greater than they are. And because of that, we find ourselves being robbed. How many of us have allowed fear of stepping out of the boat to stop us from doing what Jesus has called us to do? Peter, he dealt with the fear differently to the other disciples. He had spent enough time with Jesus that even in the storm, he recognized his voice. John 10 talks about the sheep knowing his voice. Sheep only know the shepherd's voice if they spend a long time with the shepherd. We will know Jesus' voice. We'll know the leading of the Holy Spirit by spending time with God, by reading his word, by practicing being obedient, by the peace that comes, which passes all understanding, which we get by keeping our mind on him. That small, still voice. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus to recognize his voice. Peter made sure it was Jesus talking to him before he dared to get out of the boat. Even then he said, "If that's you, call out to me." It's a good lesson to all of us not to allow fear to rob us from stepping out. In presumption, you have to know the voice of God to step out. And if we've fallen short sometimes, it's because we've stepped out in presumption. I haven't time to tell you a story. It was a good story. A great story, but I'm not going to tell you. What's your relationship like with Jesus? Is he your Savior? And if he's your Savior, is he your Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say, the Bible says? You will only step out of the boat if you know it's Jesus calling you. The second one is distractions. Peter leaves the boat when he knows it's Jesus on the water and not a ghost. And as we've already said, for a little while he walks on water. Peter does and is doing the impossible. The miracle of walking on water, just like Jesus. But then things change. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he focused on the storm. When Peter got out of the boat, his focus was on Jesus, on the source of his power. Then Peter shifted his source and his focus, shifted his focus from the source of his power to the problem that surrounded him. I guarantee you, we will sink when we allow ourselves to become distracted from Jesus, our source of power. Now, I have another story here, but because of time, and it's a good story, I'm not going to tell you. Distractions come in two forms. You want to pick up that shoe? I'm sorry. Oh, it's your glasses. I thought it was your shoe. I thought you'd keep your shoe off. Got distracted. Sorry. Distractions come in two forms. They come in the obvious and the subtle. That was a subtle one. Peter, he got distracted by the obvious. The storm. A storm that was surrounding him right then. Just a few moments ago, he was hiding in the boat. Now he was in the middle of the waves and the storm was still there. Peter, no different to us, gets scared by things that look like they will overtake us. When we focus on the problem rather than the power, we sacrifice the connection with Jesus. We forget that Jesus is a power greater than the problems we face, greater than the storms in our lives. When our problems distract us from Jesus, we turn from the greatest power, believe it or not, to a lesser power, even though it looks bigger than the greater power. We lose focus and sight of the one greater than anything else. So the lesson here is never to allow the problems of this world to distract us from the call of Jesus in our lives. Because Jesus is the source of our power. The last one is doubt. You know, it's interesting to notice that the storms did not calm down until Jesus got into the boat. The Bible tells us in that passage that when Jesus and Peter got into the boat, the seas calmed. But whilst Peter and Jesus were out in the water, the storms were still there. Sometimes we are called in the midst of the storm. We are called in the midst of when it is the worst time possible to do something. Because that means the miracle is going to be greater. Therefore, the whole experience with Peter walking on water happened while the storm raged. Don't expect God to remove the problem before he calls you to walk out. Because that's where trust and faith really come into its own. God wants us to build our lives on him and him alone, on his call and his call alone. Now, as I was writing that, I could imagine some of the thoughts back. And often when I write my sermons, I sit here and I sit down there and I try and work out what the reactions are going to be. I didn't put somebody throwing their shoe on the ground in there. What if Jesus doesn't help us? What if it fails? What if it doesn't work? Again, time's against me now, but let me just tell you that God's timing is not your timing, that God's thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts are greater and higher. Jesus may not come in your time. He might not do what you want. He might not follow your every direction. But Jesus does care. And Jesus did show up to the disciples, and he will show up to you. Jesus is all-powerful, and Jesus will help. When we know Christ personally, when we stay focused on him, when we trust him and only him, we will have the courage to step out of the boat. I would love to walk on water. Who would love to walk on water? Fedingham, serious. I would love to do that. I really, really, really would love to do that. But to do that, you've got to get out of the boat. You've got to get out of the boat. It's not some film where they put a sheet of glass just under the water so it looks like you're walking on it. It's real. And I believe, as I said at the start, that we are in a new season. A new season individually, which will translate into a new season as a church and as an organization. And I hope a new season that will impact the world around us. We need a move of God. But to have a move of God, we've got to be prepared to do what Jesus tells us to do. So I dare you to step out. I dare you to determine that you are going to step out. I dare you to say, God, call and I will come. Tell me what you want me to do. We're going to take communion right now, and I'm wondering if the worship team could come up. We're going to sing that ocean's song, water, get out of the boat. And if you look at the words of the ocean songs, you'll see it talks about trusting him. You know, everything and anything that needed to be done for us to do the work that God has called us to do has already been done. We celebrate communion. It shows us that Jesus not only defeated death and hell, but Jesus sent us his Spirit that we might be able to do and achieve the things that he's told us to do. This morning, if you have allowed distractions, if you have allowed discouragement or disillusionment to rob you, if you're allowing fear to stop you, then can I remind you, as you hold the elements of this communion in your hands, that Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again and showed you that what he said was going to happen. And then Jesus sent his Spirit to us that we might be able to achieve what he wants us to do. Don't let fear, distractions, or doubt rob you. Let's become people who are prepared to do what God has called us to do. And again, I say to you, it might not be. It probably won't be walking on water. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, he will show you what you have to do. We're in a new season. We don't have to repeat what was done in the past. We just have to do what God wants us to do for the future. And in doing that, I know that we will see people come to know Christ as their personal Savior, because the Bible says people will believe because of what they see. Let's work out. Let's act out the gospel. And let's start to step out of the boat this morning.